You've landed on Mom Swipes Left, a podcast with two middle-aged women who do not have $4,000, not even between them. On today's show, we have a Vietnamese headache and children's books, Are They Real or Not? Enjoy. And welcome back to Mom Swipes Left. This is episode 256. I am your host, Jen.
And I'm your host, Carol.
How you doing, Carol?
Great.
Really?
No.
Tell me.
Shit list grievances. I think we have the same shit list.
Yeah, shit list grievances. Let's have it.
I think we're both at that age where it feels like maybe we're just going to do this, not this, the podcast, but like this life forever till it's done. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I feel worn. I feel like I've done all the fun things. Is there more fun to have?
I was actually talking to my kid today. I was saying how I thought I was a little down. And he was asking me, like, what kind of good things would happen, like, if you had a genie? Yeah. And I couldn't, the only thing I could come up with was that my kids were happy, healthy, and financially secure.
That's good, though.
Sure.
It was a good one.
But I couldn't,
you can't.
But I couldn't have, I had nothing for me. I feel like for the rest of my life, at best, my life is just going to be boring.
I'm right there with you. It's like, how did it get so boring? Is it just that we've done everything? We've done
maybe,
it all.
Maybe, although there's a lot of things I used to want to do.
Like what?
Oh, I was gonna move to Costa Rica and live on the beach. And
oh,
do
that could still happen because that is a good place to retire.
I guess.
Maybe we just need to start thinking ahead. So maybe we need to have some big plans.
But I don't even know what that looks like.
But you know how, like, if you're planning a vacation, like you're jacked before the vacation,
right?
Then the vacation's really fun, and then you're super sad when it's done.
Yes.
But I'm just saying, like, what if we had bigger plans for later in life? The momentousness of that could jack us up now.
But what would that look like?
I don't know, but we got to figure it out.
I guess
I'm just saying. Like, no. I like the Costa Rica. That's a good one.
Or Costa Rica.
We have to go to somewhere like Costa Rica where we can afford to live like, you know.
Exactly. Kings.
Yeah. I'm just saying, every day is pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the days that I have off, I'm doing stuff for other people. Like, I'm doing stuff I don't really want to do, but I have to do because it's, like, the right thing to do. I think it's just what happens when you're in your 50s.
Maybe.
I really do. I feel like we've been going at this for some time.
Mm.
I think it happens because then when you're 80, you're like, no, I'm ready. Let's make this.
Let's make this happen.
I don't think we're alone in this.
I don't think so either.
If there are other Gen X ladies or even men who are experiencing similar feelings, DM us on our socials, write us at momswipesleft@gmail.com. Let us know, because it sort of sucks.
Mm-hmm.
I also know that it's winter, and it's after the holidays, and this always happens. It's a seasonal defective thing.
It is
what we need to do is go somewhere tropical right now.
God, it's been
like in February. Let's think about that.
I don't have any vacation time, though, because my boss is a bitch.
You do now.
With my
get 3 weeks.
But I'm taking 2 weeks.
Bitch.
And then if I want the week off between Christmas and New Year's.
Well, you're fucked then.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry that I gave you vacation time when you never had any. You're right. 3 weeks is way too little.
All right. After a huge hiatus. What are you doing?
I just smell really good. I've been putting perfume on.
Let me smell. You do.
I know. It's really a nice smell.
It smells like shampoo.
On my wrist.
Are you just dabbing some shampoo on your wrist?
No. That's my wedding perfume.
Wait. You got it at your wedding?
It's the same one that I wore at my wedding.
Okay. But it's not the same.
No.
Okay. Okay. God. No, because I have a sister who loves luxury items and will pay top dollar for them, but then not ever use them because she doesn't want to waste them. And then they either spoil, go bad.
Yeah.
Or she drops it.
Well, how do you know if it goes bad?
Perfume goes bad after like 2 years.
Well, how do you know?
Because it smells like ass.
Does it smell like ass?
No, it smells like shampoo.
Mm.
Anywho.
All I'm saying is every day is a perfume day.
Really?
Why not?
Is that your new resolution?
Yeah.
Oh, I like it. How come you didn't share that with us last week?
I'm quitting smoking. I'm way, way down on my smoking. I'm like under 5 a day.
Mm-hmm. You're doing very well.
I want to smell better.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Are you washing your cooter?
No.
Or shaving your ass?
No.
There's room for growth. So after a hiatus, Carol, the crowds are clamoring for more notable news.
It's been a while.
It's been a long time. Yes. What are we singing?
We're going to sing a rendition of Stevie Nicks' Edge of 17.
Just like the news we bring, always talking about something stupid. Ooh, baby, ooh, said ooh. Just like the trolls who say, how could this get more stupid? Ooh, baby, ooh, said ooh. But the jokes, they fly like a pube in the wind. In the world that is our own, we are young again. Said to my friend,
Jenny,
Carol,
nothing else matters but the moment that we first read dumb headlines. We knew we were on the edge of a recurring segment. Just like the one-winged dove, always flying around in circles. Ooh, baby, ooh, said news.
I thought that was really good.
It was really good.
You have a talent.
Thanks.
First up, a notable news. I want to know what's up with these chess masters and their asshole beads.
Whoa. Oh,
remember?
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
I'm recalling.
Okay. So recently, freshly crowned Jingri King received a nice cash prize for winning a strategy game. So it's not quite chess.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Chinese chess.
What?
I know there's Chinese checkers.
Yeah.
It's in the same vein as chess, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But then he did not get to enjoy the glory of the money for very long. It was challenged that he had anal beads.
God damn it.
In his asshole.
Yeah.
Receiving messages just like that other guy.
What the fuck?
Why don't they just play it?
It's cheating.
It's new.
Like, just don't cheat. How about that? How about be good at it?
What I'm saying is that, like prison, when you have to enter the tournament, you have to squat and cough with your butt cheeks.
Yeah, you do.
And then you play in the nude.
Yeah.
Fair. Right?
Yeah.
So he was accused of cheating.
Yeah.
With a sex toy in his butthole.
Jesus fuck.
However, that night, Jan ended up celebrating his victory a bit too hard.
Oh, no.
And over the course of that night, he drunkenly desecrated his hotel room's bathtub by taking a massive poop in it. I want to know how that happened.
What do you mean, how it happened?
I mean, are you just, like, sitting there luxuriating and having a soak?
Well, I don't know. Is it dry? Was it wet? I mean, not the poop, the bathtub.
Oh, you know what? Hold on.
He might have just shit in the bathtub.
Yeah, I think, okay. Okay, I see what you're saying.
What's wrong with him?
That day, the scandal and damages soiled. I think they're doing like some puns.
Play on words, yeah.
Yeah. Soiled Jan's good name.
Mm.
But the silver lining to Jan's poop incidents was that they looked at the poop.
Yeah.
And for some reason, they believed after he pooped in the bathtub, and it was free of any kind of butt toys.
Yeah.
That he was innocent.
Wait, I don't understand.
I don't actually either. Because why couldn't he have just taken it out?
They think he just left it in there?
That's what this article says.
Oh my Christ. Of course he didn't leave it in there. I mean, he could have, but of course if he's doing it to cheat, he's not going to leave it in there after he's done cheating.
Well, okay. So further in the article, it says he won and then immediately was partying with others.
Yeah.
But that still doesn't mean that he couldn't have gone into the bathroom. Right. I guess they didn't find it in the bathroom. But maybe he just flushed that shit.
I don't know.
He consumed an excessive amount of alcohol and did not use the appropriate receptacle for his waist. Jan consumed alcohol with others in his room on the night of the 17th. He defecated in the bathtub.
Well, now we know that's how you get away with it. You just take them out and then also take a shit in the bathtub or sink or the floor even.
So they're still saying that they stripped him of his winnings, and he had to pay it back.
That's a Fakakta article.
According to rumors, Jan inserted a string of Wi-Fi cable and anal beads up his butt, connected to a computer.
Uh-huh.
Why doesn't that electrocute you? Oh, it's Wi-Fi, so it's not like he's got a plug. No, we don't. Anyhow, they're still stripping him of, although I don't see why there's any proof.
Yeah.
The CXA, which is the Chinese something something, said that there was no proof that Jan had turned his rectum in a means to cheat, and yet they have taken away the money.
Rude. I'm wondering, all I've heard is that it's the best orgasm ever to have your prostate milked. So how are you sitting there, like, playing a game and not coming?
I don't know.
I think guys don't even know what a good orgasm is. They don't have a clitoris. So sad.
It's like saying, how do you know that you and I see the same color blue?
Well, I know that we have millions more nerve endings.
No, I'm talking about, like, that's one of the things. Like, you can't know.
So. But I believe that they have no idea what it's like to have a really rockin' orgasm.
So, just being devil's advocate here. Why is it that guys are always on the prowl, stereotypically?
Because it's never really good. Oh, like, so they're never really satisfied.
Wanting more and more.
Yeah, they got to get it. Whereas women, we're like, that could hold me for a couple months, for sure. Like, I can't see straight right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my theory.
Well, not a bad one. So, for all you chess masters out there, just stop
putting shit in your butthole.
Stop cheating. Just stop learn cheating. The fucking game.
It's a game of strategy, not a game of butt play.
God. Next up, a 35-year-old Vietnamese man was suffering from horrendous, persistent headaches, and he tried to grit his teeth and beat the pain. After 5 months, however, he went to seek medical help. At the same time, his nose and throat were extremely runny, and his vision became blurry.
Runny? Gross.
I think it's just like mucus.
Yeah, okay.
He went to the hospital. Wow, this is like, there's no foreplay here. He went to the hospital where doctors found a pair of chopsticks lodged in his skull.
What?
When asked if he knew how the chopsticks got in his brain, he couldn't remember at first. But eventually, he recalled a night that had turned rowdy some months back. And he might have been stabbed in the face with something sharp.
Might.
Oh my God.
What?
The bizarre medical case happened in late November, according to Vietnamese media sources. The man, identified only as Mr. PVT, had been struggling with these strange health issues for some time. He struggled through the runny nose and blurry vision until one day, Mr. PVT's nose got so itchy that he scratched it and discovered what was described as a foreign object.
Oh, shit.
Trying to fix the issue himself,
The
man grabbed a pair of tweezers to try and pull out the unwelcome intruder.
Man, who wouldn't?
Much to his horror, he discovered that the object was a lot bigger than he assumed.
And if he had pulled it out, he'd now be retarded.
Oh, wait. Can I just do a side jog?
Yeah.
Family friend of ours. This is back in the early 90s. She had nose polyps.
Okay.
But she didn't know she had nose polyps.
Yeah.
She blew her nose.
Yeah.
Because she was super stuffy.
Yeah.
And what she described as a blue-purple thing came out of one of her nostrils. And she went to pull it out with her fingers, and it was attached, and it was a nose polyp. And so, now, like, when I get super stuffy, you know how you always feel like you got a booger somewhere in there, and you're just trying to, your damnedest to blow it out? I think it's a nose ball.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, so I go in. Like,
don't pull it, though.
No, but just saying. Okay. Gross. I think I would probably poke it with a needle.
Yeah, and then you get a terrible infection that went to your brain.
Oh, that's true.
And then you would die.
I didn't even think of that.
Of encephalitis.
Immediately following his attempt to dislodge the item, Mr. PVT took a turn for the worse. His headache exploded. He lost his vision. And the flow of liquid from his nose became a waterfall.
It's all his cerebral spinal
fluid. I think it is. At this point, the family decided it was time to seek a doctor.
You think?
So they took him to the emergency room of the Vietnam-Cuba Friendship Hospital, where the doctors discovered the man suffered from intracranial pneumothorax, a life-threatening condition where excess air in the skull cavity exerts pressure on the brain.
Jesus.
Further tests revealed the cause of this condition. A pair of chopsticks. 5 months earlier, he had been out drinking. He got into a drunken fight. He got stabbed in the face with something. Was taken to receive first aid.
Oh.
But at the time, nobody found anything wrong with him.
What, it's just like absorbed into his head?
I don't know. Anywho, that's it. Doctors pulled him out.
All right. And they pulled him out.
Fixed the hole in the brain with microsurgery. And yeah, he's in stable condition.
I bet he's fine. Not fine.
I don't know.
You don't just have holes in your brain.
I don't know. I mean, we all know that story that might be a myth where you're only using like
30%
of your brain. I think this one we can all understand. Pennsylvania family's dog eats $4,000 in cash.
Dick.
The Law family in Pittsburgh documented their story on the Tic Tacs, saying that their dog Cecil has never done anything bad in his life until he ate $4,000 in cash. The Laws told CNN that they had brought the money back from a bank for a home improvement project when Cecil decided to devour.
Who has cash money from the bank?
Yeah, I don't.
Don't they usually give you a check?
So the dog ate it.
Yes. I want to know what the cash was. Is it 20s? Is it 50s? Is it dollars? Did you get $4,000 of $1 bills? What do you eat?
Well, it's not going to be. I would say they're probably $100 bills. The Tic Tac, recapping the incidents, shows the Laws sifting through Cecil's deposits to find the scraps. They then cleaned and pieced together the money with tape.
Does that work?
Before being told by the bank that this happens all the time.
No, it does not.
That's what the bank said. According to the Bureau of Engraving and Printing, Mutilated Currency Division provides free redemption services for mutilated cash.
No way.
Mutilated cash is considered currency damage to the point where one half or less of the note remains, or its condition leads to questions of its value. On average, the Bureau of Engraving and Printing receives more than 22,000 requests for examination of mutilated currency every year.
Wow.
In excess of $35 million, yo.
You know how sometimes people, like organizations or churches or whatever, will send you something and it'll have like a dollar in it?
Yeah.
I ripped that shit up and then I realized there's a dollar in it.
Right.
So I got two halves of a dollar. I didn't know I could just tape it up.
Oh, yeah, just tape it. Wait, I have a side jog here, but I just need to say the most common causes of currency and mutilation are fire, water, chemicals, explosives, yada, yada, yada. Technically, from what I understand, if it's less than half of the dollar or the bill, you can tape it together, especially if the numbers match up.
Yeah.
If it's 50% or more, then you have to go through this mutilation thing.
I see.
But I always wondered, what happens if you have... So are there $1,000 bills?
I do not know. I would not know.
I don't either. But let's assume that there are $1,000 bills, right?
Yeah.
If you have $50,000 bills and you cut them up so that you have just a little tiny piece of a $1,000 bill.
Yeah.
But you do it to all of them so then you can piece together one or more $1,000 bills.
Yeah.
Doesn't that work?
I don't know what you're saying. I've lost you. If you have $50,000 bills.
Right.
You're saying piece together a couple thousand?
So if you take from all of your 50 $1,000 bills.
Yes.
If you take one.
Oh, I see what you're saying. And make a whole new $1,000 bill.
Exactly.
Huh.
Would that work?
I don't know. Because don't the numbers have to match up?
You'd have to be really careful.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, I'm never going to see $1,000 bill, so probably not an issue.
But even a dollar bill, I mean.
We could try it with a dollar.
Yeah, try it with a dollar.
Go to the mutilateds. Mm-hmm. I want to know what those bills came out like.
Well, so there was a picture, but I think it was probably doctored.
Yeah.
I mean, so if it were me, I just take the entire dog shit over days or however long it took to pass through and just throw it in the wash and then put it in the dryer.
Because dollars do survive that.
Oh, yeah. So you're getting rid of most of the
fecal matter.
And who cares? You're handing it off to somebody else.
Yeah, nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Well, at that point, it's clean.
The whole poop thing doesn't bother me at all. In fact,
not when it comes to money.
Well, my mom used to tell stories. So for some reason, one of her older brothers, Ronnie, always swallowed coins.
I did that as well.
You swallowed coins?
I did. And why? My parents, I don't know. I was little. I don't remember.
Pennies?
Yeah.
Nickels?
All kinds. And so they would wait for it to come through, mm-hmm. and there it was.
Yeah. They would swallow pennies. I mean, this is back in the 40s.
I mean, at this point, I would look and see if my kid's penny came through just to make sure he was okay, but I wouldn't take the penny.
Oh, my grandmother used to make them shit on a newspaper so that she could fish through and get that penny.
Now, $4,000, I'm going to sift through some shit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And how.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's it for the dog shit.
I wonder what made him want to eat it.
I don't know, because there's nothing.
No.
There had to have been some kind of, oh, you know what? Maybe the wife stuffed it in her crotch as a safe place. I mean, I've done that. No, seriously. If I'm, like, there have been a few times.
It's so dirty. You can put that up against your cooter?
Have you just met me? No, there have been a couple of times, like once when I was in Vegas, mm-hmm. and I didn't want it because I was going to the casinos, mm-hmm. and I don't want to be carrying shit because I just tend to.
You didn't think about like a sock or just going to put it in your
cage? I wasn't wearing a sock, you know, so maybe she just tucked it down there. And the smell, because you know how a dog will chew up a pair of panties.
You also, yeah, no, mm-hmm. that is real. Mm-hmm. Also, I mean, maybe it just got mixed in with some flavorful meats. Like some meat juice got stuck. I mean, I don't know where this money's been. You don't know where money's been.
No, it's filthy. Mm-hmm. Carol, I am so excited.
Yeah.
This is something that we did, I think, 2 years ago.
Oh, we're already through notable news?
Yeah, that's what I got.
Wow.
I'm skipping the satanic abortion clinic.
Why?
Oh, you want to do it?
I want to know about it.
Okay,
now last. That you've brought it up.
Okay, last up. It is a satanic abortion clinic.
That sounds suspect.
So this is a satanic abortion clinic that has pissed off everybody. The Satanic Temple's new telehealth venture.
Nutella?
New.
Oh,
telehealth.
Okay.
It is a fully credentialed clinic serving real patients, and it is breaking the religious right's grip on abortion law. So it's called Samuel Alito's Mom's Satanic Abortion Clinic. But beneath the outlandish branding lies a sincere mission. This New Mexico-based telehealth practice is a legitimate medical entity run by an accredited clinical team, and it offers abortion care to patients within state lines.
I love them.
They prescribe abortion pills, $91 a set, up until the 11th week of pregnancy, and offers 24/7 phone access to licensed medical personnel to anyone in need. Also, there's Satanists, members of a religious organization called the Satanic Temple.
Don't have a problem with it.
Mm-mm.
Honestly, I would never join the Satanic Temple, but they, if you do a tiny bit of research, they're fucking awesome.
They have done so many fantastic things.
So many fantastic things. And they're not actually worshiping Satan. They're
you're jumping ahead. So okay, it says,
I'm so sorry.
Never mind that these Satanists don't actually worship the mm-hmm. devil. There is no ritual sacrifices or quest for supernatural powers at TST. In reality, Satanism is a non-theistic fate mm-hmm. in which roughly 1.5 million global members view Satan as a mascot depicting not the dark omnipresent mm-hmm. entity but a literal character, a symbol of rebellion, mm-hmm. inquiry.
Inquiry
it's
really good.
Fuck. personal sovereignty, and resistance against tyranny.
Yes. I'm telling you, I watched that documentary and it was, I can't remember the name of it. It was so worth watching. I love the name of their clinic.
So besides the fact that they're known for their guerrilla street warfare, they have also become recognized as a religious sect. Mm-hmm. And so because of their beliefs, the abortion laws do not affect them.
It is so fucking beautiful that I can't even, they have used it and turned it on its head. And they probably don't have to pay taxes, no, which probably is fantastic. Not.
Samuel Alito's mom's satanic abortion clinic also offers after abortion care.
Can you imagine?
What?
Going to take care of a woman?
Anyway, there's a lot of info here, but check it out. These guys are brilliant. Why don't we become Satanists? Maybe we're already Satanists.
I think we kind of are.
After last week's episode, I think a lot of people consider us Satanists.
Why?
Oh, we got a lot of pushback for last week.
For what?
A lot of retard talk.
There was not that much retard talk. And also, we were talking about words.
So that's it.
Oh, but also, since we're talking about people hating us, we did get some pushback also that Bonnie Raitt isn't gay. And was not.
Oh, right, right. Yeah.
The person who got the sperm from Crosby, that was actually Melissa Etheridge.
Have we double checked that though?
Who is gay.
Because you looked up Bonnie Raitt and then you gave me the thumbs up like, yes, I was right.
Okay, hang on.
Who cares? David Crosby sperms all over the fucking world.
I probably just looked at her face and they kind of look the same.
Come through my window.
It's not through, it's to.
Oh, really?
Come through my window. It's definitely Melissa Etheridge.
Oh, okay.
Whatever. She had David Crosby's sperm baby.
Okay.
So sorry, Bonnie Raitt.
Yeah. I know my dykes. So I guess I'm not the dyke queen.
No, you don't know your dykes. No. But also, we mistake people a lot. We just mistook it.
And here was my response. I said, if you actually think that you're getting facts from me about famous people, you're a fucktard.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next up, I'm very excited about this. And I know we've done this before.
Yeah.
A real children's book?
Oh, Jesus.
Or fake? These are new ones.
Oh, this is hard, though.
I know it is. I'm going to read you the title and a brief synopsis of what the book is.
Mm-hmm.
You tell me if this is a real book or something Jenny made up.
Okay.
Don't make me go back, Mommy. Little Allison is subjected to horrific satanic rituals during her time in daycare.
If it was the 80s, 90s, I'd say that's a real book, but I think you made it up.
It is real.
No!
It is real.
Are we having a second satanic panic?
No, I actually think it was written in the 90s.
Oh, okay.
I meant new as in they're not ones that we've already covered.
Got it. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like I got cheated out of that one then.
Why?
Because if I had known it wasn't new, I probably would have said yes because that was a big deal back then.
Apparently in the 90s, Satanists love working in daycare centers.
They love it. Because it pays well.
This series of books helped kids cope with difficult satanic subjects.
Series of books. Mm-hmm. Oh, fuck.
A little girl named Allison is subjected to horrific rituals during her time at daycare, but she learns to heal through therapy.
I'm sorry I'm laughing. It's not actually funny, but it is funny.
Goodbye, Hiroshima. Maruki and her pet cricket describe the horrors of the Hiroshima bombing as they watch their house, school, and family burn.
I'm going to say that's real.
I made it up.
Oh, that'd be a good book.
I can picture the illustrations.
Right?
Sweet.
I just feel like this is a great way for you to know what children's books we should write.
Last time, remember?
Yeah.
We were like all over the children's books.
And then we didn't do anything. But, you know, that's who we are.
Well, that's when I came up with, what was it, Marcos's Last Day with Mommy? I actually think that this would work. Marcos is a toddler.
Yeah.
Who wakes up in his crib and mommy's not there.
Right.
Mommy has died of a drug overdose she in the has, kitchen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so he steps on her head to get himself some breakfast.
Yeah.
He washes his face and washes mommy's gooey face. Yeah, because she's like snotted out that white foam thing they do.
And I mean, this could help kids because there's a lot of them waking up to their mom's dead by an overdose. That's not even a joke.
No, it's not a joke.
In our neck of the woods.
And so he makes it through the day without mommy.
Yep. That's the rest of his life.
Hmm. Next. Brothers don't always get love. Johnny's older brother is his hero. But when older brother Steven asks Johnny to do sexual play, Johnny doesn't know how to say no.
You made that up.
I did. What was the giveaway?
I don't know. Sexual play, I think.
Oh, fuck yeah, all.
I think that was it.
Alfie's home. Young Alfie is sexually assaulted by his uncle and later forced to attend conversion therapy.
That sounds like you made it up. Did you make that up?
Is that your...
Yes.
No, it's true.
Poor Alfie. That's terrible.
So it's a book by Richard Cohen. It follows a young boy sexually assaulted by his uncle. There's actually an illustration depicting them in bed together.
No!
The boy spends years grappling with his own sexuality. Because he believes he is gay, his parents put him in conversion therapy.
Ugh.
During these sessions, he is suddenly cured of his homosexuality with a single hug from his dad.
Well, that'll do it.
I wish Daddy didn't drink so much. 9-year-old Lisa is disappointed that she can't use her new Christmas sled because her dad is too drunk.
Oh, damn.
How does a child handle family alcoholism?
I think that's real.
You are right. Yes.
We could write a much better book.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The thing about this book, though, so it talks about AA meetings and how her father's habit is hurtful, yada, yada, yada. It says the downside is that there is no happy ending. The girl's father does not recover or ever seek help.
Oh, geez.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's realistic.
In some ways, this book is good therapy for kids dealing with these issues.
Yeah, who will see their father not get any help and just have to grow up and leave the house like all of us.
My parents open carry. 13-year-old Brenna joins her semi-automatic toting parents for a typical Saturday, running errands and having fun together.
Yes, that's real.
It is real.
Goddamn NRA. You know they funded that shit.
This is a book by Brian Jeffs and Nathan Nephew. The book cover boasts raves from Glenn Beck.
No,
I'm going to read it to my kids tonight. And Stephen Colbert.
What?
What a beautiful bedtime story.
Is he a gun toter?
Well, no, but it says we are all assuming he is less than sincere.
Oh.
But I can't believe that they put him.
Yeah, no, I can.
That's funny. The Winter Rabbit. Dylan is known as a difficult child, and only Bunny, his pet rabbit, understands him. While playing with matches, Dylan sets fire to his home, scaring Bunny under his bed. Both die as Dylan refuses to leave Bunny behind.
You wrote that.
I did. Why? What's the tell?
It's so catastrophic.
Fuck.
It's also a little Donnie Darko. Like, it's definitely you.
Really? Oh, damn it.
Come on, I gotta get some.
All right. If a peacock found a pot leaf. A story of Pete the Peacock, who stumbles onto a pot leaf in the forest.
Mm.
Thankfully, his trusty animal friends teach him all about the benefits of medical marijuana.
That is real.
It is real.
Oh, no.
How did you know that?
It just feels like that's something that someone would write.
It is true. Oh, and it's actually one in a series.
Oh, Jesus.
Believe it or not, this isn't Peter Peacock's first trip into the world of drugs. In the last book of a series of pro-drug books includes If a Peacock Discovers Hemp Island.
Well, hemp isn't even a drug.
No, it's not, but I was waiting for, like...
Cocaine Alley. Right?
Yeah. Anyway, that's it.
Heroin haul.
You did pretty well.
Thanks. I think I did do well. I didn't expect to do that well. I must know you better or something.
I am disappointed in myself.
They were really good, though.
God damn it.
Oh, don't be sad. You got me on the first one.
That's it.
Well, good, because that means there's less books that we have to actually write from this round.
That's true.
We've only got so much time.
I gotta get on Marco so it spends a day without mommy.
You do.
Socials?
Please visit us on our socials at all of our socials, which include the Twatter, sometimes the Tic Tac, but not a lot.
Not lately.
Jenny was doing that. Yeah. And then
got lazy.
The Facebook group, Moms Wipes Left Nation. And please call us on our telephone, 207-L201. That's L as in E-L, as in the Spanish. You can also text us at that number.
Yeah.
You can also DM us. There's so many ways to get in touch with us. And yet, it's like fucking crickets. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Thank you, freaks, for listening. We will see you next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Then, you got a fan in old Trace Atkins. I played... your show for old Trace Atkins. He said, that's a good. Them girls, they know what they're doing. That's a plum entertaining.